Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Given everything happening in the world right now, I would imagine
Welcome
most people
Dunzo.
Have adapted quite
this
the complicated
podcast that explores hookups and breakups of famous lovers and
I've
friends,
always been a troubled sleeper, if you will, and luckily
all
that's
discarded
changed
pop
now that I'm using a Helix
yesteryear. I'm your
Helix
host,
is a sleep
Troy
quiz
McGee.
That takes no more than 2 minutes to complete and matches your body type and sleep preferences to the perfect mattress made just for you. Can we talk for a second? Why would you waste your money on a mattress made for a stranger? With Helix, you're getting a mattress.
You guys, welcome to, I believe,
be
episode 178 of
Helix
Dunzo.
Understands that every
me,
person
Troy
is
McGee.
Unique, so they
I'm
have
so
several different mattress models.
Beyond
to choose
excited.
From.
This
they have
feels
soft,
like
medium,
some kind
and
of,
firm
I got
mattresses.
Kind of
they have mattresses
I don't know
that are great
I'm so
for
excited.
Cooling down if you sleep hot.
I'm so
and
happy.
They have a Helix Plus, which
I have an
is great
amazing
for the plus
guest
size
here today.
Folks.
We are talking
I
about
I took the Helix Quiz and got matched with the Helix Plus mattress because I wanted something that felt nice and firm.
Joe Gunn, how are you?
Sturdy. I'm also typically
I'm
a side sleeper, but with this
here.
Mattress, I can honestly
I've been
plop
following
down
you for the longest time
and
because
fall
I'm a mole
right
head,
into a deep,
so
deep
I've
sleep.
Been listening to Please
to be
Buy, honest
with you, I don't think I realized
gone.
How true and magic my previous mattress was until this one came into my house. It's by far the nicest mattress I've ever owned in my entire life, and I'll never forget unboxing it and laying down and being like, oh, this is what it feels like to sleep on a mattress. Like, this is it. So if you're in the market for
what's going on there?
And it comes right to your door, ships for free, and you'll
okay,
never
okay.
have to go to a mattress store ever again.
Helix
is awesome,
right
but
now.
You don't have to
yeah.
take my word for it. It was awarded the number one best
Hannah,
overall mattress pick of 2020 by GQ
and
Wired Magazine. Go to helix.com/dunzo, take their 2-minute sleep quiz, and they'll match you to a customized mattress that will give you the best sleep of your life.
I mean, I guess I got it just in the nick of time.
They have a 10-year warranty, and you can try it for 100 nights risk-free. They'll even pick it up for you if you don't like it, but I can guarantee
you will.
Helix is offering up to $200 off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners at helixsleep.com/dunzo.
Smoking a cigarette with Britney, yoga, there's one called Yoga with Britney Spears. There's something about at the abortion clinic with Britney Spears. And
wow, the cover is incredible.
Export, Sonnet for Chris Crocker. It's that's a good find. And then very apt for today. It's got Oops on it. It's my You Better Work Bitch notebook. And then of course I've got my fantasy.
Do you dare?
And then this, I dusted this off. So we're all ready.
So there's a cardboard cutout behind Joe right now of Britney like gallivanting towards him. And it's just so fucking magical. Like all I brought to the table was a 90s rickety background of Britney, Britney's Lucky doll. So we're surrounded by Britney's energy today.
Wait, is this your doll or did you Google it like Britney Googles pictures of corn?
This is from Britney's Google image search. This is after she Googled like cats batting yarn, then she looked at her. So if you haven't read the episode description yet, we are talking about the Oops album today, which is weird because I feel like the Oops album is like not a deep cut. Like everybody knows the Britney Spears Oops album, but like I feel like only fans like listen to it. Does that make sense?
Right. So you've obviously got the songs the locals know. So right. You go in and out of local zone in mm-hmm. as you're listening to the album. You're like, okay, now we're back to the deep cuts. Or
right.
If you're a fan, they're not even deep cuts. Like you know it, but like, it's like, just for the locals. They would be classified as deep cuts. But then Lucky comes along and you're back in the local zone. So,
exactly. It's so weird. It's like, and it's also just such like an unapologetically just pop record, which we'll talk about. First, can I just say something bold?
Yes.
Can I share something bold? Do you think it's inappropriate to say on microphone that you're my favorite meme account?
I mean, I'm honored. I mean, you can edit that out if you feel like you're gonna upset some people. But that's a very kind thing to say. Thank you so much, Troy.
No, I mean that. I really do. I'm not kidding. Like, I have like a handful of meme accounts that I never skip. And yours is one of them. I would say it's like in my at least, it's got, I would say it's at least in my top three or top two. My thumb just instinctively knows to pause if I see that you've posted something because I'll always laugh.
That is so sweet. I can't wait to let you down with the next post I do, where you're like, that was really distasteful or I just don't get it.
My thumb will start untraining and it'll start scrolling on purpose.
No, but thank you. That's very sweet. I'm sorry I never post, but I've got Mima's block, so I can't think of anything.
No, you post just enough. That's the other thing. It's like you don't overpost, which I love. It's like you make it a treat, as Sarah Silverman would say.
Yes.
Well, tell me your, what is, first of all, what is your Britney journey? Like, when were you introduced to Britney? When did you become a fan? Tell me everything.
So this is me, okay? People who, so I can't believe what, 3 minutes in and I'm about to plug my own podcast.
Please do it, I'm not kidding. But,
I have a podcast called Bare Minimum, which I'm about to resurrect because it's been dead since June. But people who listen to that or have listened to me on podcasts know that I have a hard time, like, first of all, forming an opinion, and second of all, like, trying to piece together the narrative of my life. So, like, for me, Britney Spears has just always been there. There wasn't, like, a day where, and I remember, I turned on the TV and there she was.
Right.
It's just like she's always been Britney Spears. It's like, okay, I'm just going along my life as a nine-year-old and then suddenly, oh, yeah, Hit Me Baby One More Time, and Britney Spears sings it.
Right.
I do remember the first time she was on Top of the Pops, which I'm sure you know what that
yes.
is. Yeah. Where she sang Born to Make You Happy, and she was very obviously that was number one here, I'm pretty sure. And yeah, so she's always been in my vernacular. Again, another thing about me is I try to use words and think I know what they mean.
Oh, well, then you're right at home. Are you kidding? You're right at home.
I'm actually trying to read more books to get more intelligent, but my last two brain cells are really struggling with my, like, one chapter a day.
If I read more books, I'll just learn more words that I'll misuse. I don't even mess with them.
No, but seriously, every other sentence I'm having to stop to ask Siri what a word means is fucking New York Times top sellers that I just bought. But yeah, so... love her music. That was my journey. I don't know, just pop starlet. It's camp. And there I am, a little gay kid, was drawn to that. She's fun. Just, I guess, her interviews on, like, MTV and stuff, she was always very, like, not like kids presenter, but she was just like, I don't know, like
relatable. Yeah.
Relatable. It's like, what are those clips? She's like, we'll hang out, chat, shop, laugh.
Yeah, yes. Shop for dolls.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, my journey is that I love Britney, and I don't have a romantic story where I discovered her. So that's my answer.
Well, I actually think that that's also super relatable, because I feel like if you're of a particular age, I feel like if you're a younger Britney fan, you can pinpoint it. Like, you can kind of pinpoint, like, when you realize everybody loved this iconic person. Like, I remember being young and not knowing who Madonna was, and then my mom got me the Immaculate Collection CD, and it, you know, like, I was so young, or I was so young by the time she had done so much that I can remember. But with Britney, it's like, she was always just there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The same with Madonna, was always just there. Like, as soon as we came into the world, Madonna was Madonna. And so it's like, I'm the same as you. My mum introduced me to the Immaculate Collection on the cassette.
Yeah.
And it's like, you almost feel like special that you're, like, getting this knowledge, like, handed
yes.
down, almost like how tribes would hand down stories to yes. the, like, new generation. And so I always feel like, yeah, no, I know that song. And, oh, yeah, no, Madonna did that originally. It wasn't always Kelly. What's her name? Kelly Osbourne.
You're like, guess what, girls? I know a little tea about Papa Don't Preach on the playground.
It's so good. And then obviously, when I was, like, cogent and cognizant, I would, when she came out with music, I guess that's when I was sort of like, oh yeah, that's the Madonna that I learned about from
right.
the collection. And yeah.
So. Yeah, I feel like for younger people, for Britney, that I've noticed it tends to be Circus because that was now a, you know, that was a decade ago, and like 10 years ago younger people would have been like the age, I guess, to kind of like learn who she is, which is so weird because for us circus is like a comeback, but for younger people it's like, oh, I like this girl, who is she? It's so weird.
Well, the concept of the video circus is basically, you know, a circus.
It's just something really cool.
No, I can't even imagine. I'm just so truly blessed to, I feel like I was just born at the perfect time mm-hmm. and the stars aligned. And it's like, you're not exactly her age that you could like be like jealous of her success or anything. Mm-hmm. It's like that 9-year age difference between me and Brittany is always like, like we're both in our 30s now, but we're at opposite ends. And it's right. like, and it's always like, it was always like, okay, whenever I hit a new age, I always then think, oh, what was Brittany doing at this age?
And it's totally.
Like, and it's and it just makes me think like, oh my God, but, well, it could make you depressed. Like, okay, by the time she was 30, she had done X, Y, and Z. But yeah. And I feel like for gays, like her being a woman, kind of like is a separation of kind of like, well, you can't really like be jealous of that success.
Totally.
Yeah. It's, yeah. Anyway.
You can tangent. Only admire it.
Admire it. Stan it.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, imagine circus being your.
Oh, I don't want to. I don't even like going there. That's so weird. But what about, okay, so specifically Oops, like what does this album mean to you in your life?
So I definitely remember the build up to Oops coming out, the mm-hmm. CDs being in shops, and I was a Britney fan by then, I could tell you that.
Right.
It's like, this is the second album. It felt like everyone was talking about it. Mm-hmm. I remember we had, they're called youth clubs. I don't know, it was like an after school thing that we just, parents shuttle their kids off to, but it
oh,
was
yeah,
like
yeah.
This girl came in with the Oops CD, and it's like, she's got it, oh my God, she's got it, on like the first day of release. And then she went up to the CD player, press play, and we were all there with our like sweets just like listening to it. But it's just like, we'll get through track by track, but it just comes in hot, and it just right. it's just an explosion of like, oh, this isn't the same Britney as Baby One More Time.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the completely sex. Oh, I mean, she's been sexualized since day one. Who are we right. kidding? Like, schoolgirl outfit for her debut music video. I mean, it's sick, isn't it, when you look back on it?
I know.
Actually, really sick. But it's, she's got this, maybe a new confidence that she didn't have in Baby One More Time. There's new things she's exploring, like she's discovering boys and having crushes and being in love and having mm-hmm. one, dreaming of that one kiss. And yeah, so and I just, there's just the cover with the beads and the peering through, and
yeah,
just everything about it is just so, I love it.
No, I think that you touched on something very specific, that this was, I mean, obviously this was like the peak of people still buying like a physical version of an album. And this was one of those albums that it just felt like at a certain point, you just didn't know anybody who didn't have it. Even if they weren't listening to it, everybody had a physical copy of Baby One More Time and the Oops, I Did It Again CD. They just did. Like if you looked through some, if you were flipping through somebody's like CD book, you would always see that purple, like.
Those CD books.
You knew it was gonna be there. You knew it was gonna be there. And it's just like, it was a staple. And I remember saying during my Brittany and Justin deep dive, I think it was like maybe part two or three, I don't remember which part it was, but I talked a lot about the Oops album and like the production and everything that went into it. And one of the things that I thought was super interesting was like, you know, obviously Baby One More Time sent everybody into this like scramble. All of the record labels were like, oh my God, like we need a version of Britney. This is crazy. Who is this girl? Like, I guess this pop thing is happening. You know, it sent everybody kind of like into this manic episode. But then I feel like this album came out and it just turned the pressure up to like a scalding. It was like, okay, man the troops. We got to get the girls back in the studio. They got to retrain their voices. Hike up the skirts. Let's cut off the tops. Everybody's got to meet a crop top. Let's bleach everybody's hair. The girls have got to figure out how to sing like Britney. It was like, really, it sent the whole record industry into this like crazy tailspin.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
She literally was done with Earth and just went to Mars. conquered it. Now this is the next. I'm on another planet now, bitch.
Like, literally.
Given everything happening in the world right now, I would imagine most people have adapted quite the complicated relationship with a good night's sleep. I've always been a troubled sleeper, if you will, and luckily all that's changed now that I'm using a Helix mattress. Helix is a sleep quiz that takes no more than 2 minutes to complete and matches your body type and sleep preferences to the perfect mattress made just for you. Can we talk for a second? Why would you waste your money on a mattress made for a stranger? With Helix, you're getting a mattress that you can guarantee will be perfect for your body. Helix understands that every person is unique, so they have several different mattress models to choose from. They have soft, medium, and firm mattresses. They have mattresses that are great for cooling you down if you sleep hot. And they have Helix Plus, which is great for the plus size folks. I took the Helix quiz and got matched with the Helix Plus mattress because I wanted something that felt nice and firm and very sturdy. I'm also typically a side sleeper, but with this mattress, I can honestly plop down in any position and fall right into a deep, deep REM sleep. To be completely honest with you, I don't think I realized how truly tragic my previous mattress was until this one came into my house. It's by far the nicest mattress I've ever owned in my entire life, and I'll never forget unboxing it and laying down on it and being like, oh, this is what it feels like to sleep on a mattress, like this is it. So if you're in the market for a mattress, go ahead and take the quiz, order the mattress you're matched to, and it comes right to your door, shipped for free, and you'll never have to go to a mattress store ever again. Helix is awesome, but you don't have to take my word for it. It was awarded the number one best overall mattress pick of 2020 by GQ and Wired Magazine. Go to helixsleep.com/dunzo, take their 2-minute sleep quiz, and they'll match you to a customized mattress that will give you the best sleep of your life, I promise. They have a 10-year warranty, and you get to try it for 100 nights risk-free. They'll even pick it up for you if you don't like it, but I can guarantee you will. Helix is offering up to $200 off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners at helixsleep.com/dunzo.
And the only relics on the ground are just rocks covered in her album cover. She's so prolific. I also think it's worth mentioning before we get into like the track by track, we have to talk about Max Martin. And, you know, obviously during this time, it's like Britney was elevated to this crazy level of fame, and then Max Martin became way more famous and way more powerful because of her. And you know, she'd really proven herself to the world, and it was a wild time. But like, even more so, she had kind of solidified herself, I think, with Oops. Like, Baby One More Time, I think, was like a thing that they didn't expect would take off in the way that it did. It was totally unexpected for everybody that it would be so successful. But then Oops was so like planned and crafted, and it was like, this has got to be really big. And I think this is the album that made everybody, this is the Princess of Pop album. You know what I mean? Like the first one, who knew what was going to happen? But this one, this was like, oh, she is like, I guess the next Madonna. We've got our next Madonna. Like it kind of became like the defining like Princess of Pop is here to stay kind of gig.
I agree. It crystallized her. You know, she's not a one hit wonder. She's not mm-hmm. going anywhere. She changed up her look. You know, it's like she's going through eras just the same as Madonna did. And, but yeah, this is where like you're a much more knowledgeable fan than I am. First of all, I've never claimed to be a flawless stan. I never will be a flawless stan. I'm my own type of stan.
Yeah.
I didn't know that you said when they made this record, they didn't realize it was going to, I mean, surely when you make a record, you want it to succeed.
Totally.
But I guess when she was performing it at strip malls, like, it wasn't like, they could probably never foresee the stratospheres that it would take her to.
Yeah, it was like, they were like, okay, so this took off real big and we can't just come at another album sort of casually the way we did with this one. Like, we really have to like amp this the fuck up. Like, Britney's got to lean in, and you know, and I agree with you. It felt like she did have this sort of, I've been doing this now for a year or so, I'm more media trained, I'm confident, you know, like, it became much less like, no sir, yes sir, hand behind the back, sweet girl. Like, it was, she was more comfortable and confident, and I don't know, you can just see her kind of becoming more of a, more Britney, I guess. She's not fully, at this point, she is a lot more, in my opinion, like, reserved. She's still very, you know, aware of what she's saying, and, you know, like, very precious about the virginity thing, and she is still being a very good girl. Yeah, this is the thing,
because, like, this is her era where she's out fucking, isn't she?
Right,
but
she's, yes.
But then it's like on the interlude we get, it's like she's still being the kind of, did you guys kiss? Mm-hmm. And it's like when she was like getting the D like the night before.
Totally.
Whether that whole, oh, do I even want to bring it up, the whole crude thing of like her rule of getting away of staying a virgin is that she only did anal. Have you ever heard that one?
I have heard that. I heard that about Jessica Simpson too.
Edit that out.
I'll use that to promo this episode, by the way.
Oh my god. With like the voice wave. Get it.
Okay, yeah. And I was also gonna say too, I think that this album is a real sweet spot for her voice. I get a lot of messages from people about Britney's voice. Like, as if I'm some Tomb Raider who's, like, cracked the code on this, like, ancient relic, which is her voice. I just have my thoughts and opinions, but I do think if you want to hear Britney really, like, sing, I think the Oops album is a really good representation of Britney's, like, singing ability. I think she just sounds really good. And there are a lot of songs where they allow her to sing in her deeper register, which I think is, like, really cool.
Allow. God, fuck I these know. People.
I
fuck
know.
These cunts.
I know.
These fucking suits. I'm sorry if you just lost all your sponsors.
No, please. That's I love that. It's like I always say, just punch the numbers. Show up, punch the numbers, and I punch them.
Yeah, no, come to Oops for Ballad Knee. There's some great runs in there that she does. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know all the vocal words, but there are moments where you go, ooh, she can sing. It's like,
right.
And then there's no Maya Marie. Maya Marie probably wasn't even born yet.
No. No Maya Marie. This is Britney really like doing like the old school Britney like grunts, like the growling. You know what I mean? All of that old school Britney stuff, like iconic. I also love this album too because it introduced like, I don't know if it was the first one out of all of the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC and everybody, but it really lays heavy on these like bass drops. Where it feels like every 1 minute, there's like some big dramatic bass drop and it makes all the songs
like that.
Yeah, like it's just like a slow lead up to like a real intense like bass moment. And so some songs they abuse it, but I feel like it's always like really effective. Like the songs are all just so like theatrical and like dramatic and, you know, they're all just so extra. You know what I mean? Like, they're so over the top. But I love it.
Yeah. It's very pop. I have, like, Colors that brings to mind as well with, like, each song. And it's a feast, this album.
Have you ever read about, probably not because this is psychotic, but, like, there's this, I think it may have been an article or, like, somebody wrote an article where they, like, exposed Max Martin's writing formula, and like when you know it, it's like fucked because then you can't like unhear it. And
like verse chorus bridge,
right,
chorus again, isn't that just the pop?
He does this thing that is like, it's incredibly effective, where after the breakdown, there's like, you know, after the, but I thought the old lady dropped it into the ocean in the end. After the breakdown, he introduces a new chorus on like almost every song. So like, for example, with Oops, it's the part where she's like, oops, I did it again to your heart, got lost, like that thing in the background.
Right, so same lyrics, just same different structure.
Totally different structure, random new chorus at the end of the song. And then at the end, he mixes the chorus that we've like got accustomed to the new one. And it's like, it literally forces you to then replay the song all the way to the end because you want that build up. It's like a manipulation tactic, but it's amazing.
Oh, genius.
Yeah, iconic. Like, literally brainwashed to like her. I'll take it.
I've got to see the Max Martin musical, obviously, in the after time when we can. Yeah. But or I don't know if there's some recording of it. But God, what was it? What was it even called now?
I'm gonna Google it.
One More Time or something like that. But yeah, it was just chock full of Max Martin songs, and
he's just, I mean, he is great. Our entire childhood, it's unreal. But yeah, I guess we can start doing track by track now. Yes, if you want. Are you
absolutely
ready?
Absolutely.
Starting with the one and the only, starting with the most basic Britney song, I would say maybe even more than Baby One More Time. Oops, I Did It Again. What are your if you take all of the shit out of it, all of the memories of this song being beaten in everybody's head and the imagery and everybody knows it, like just as a song, what do you think of Oops on like a re-listen?
Again, I can't really separate myself from everything that's connected to it.
I know, it's almost impossible.
Great song. And just, I remember even the name of the song is just so weird.
Right.
It's a weird title for a song, and it makes you look at it and think, what is this? And I think I remember being on her website with the dial-up HTML --www. And like, I guess seeing whatever they did to like tease it, or that they released the name of it, and it was like, oops, ... I did it again. It's like, that is fucking weird. Like, right. And but it's, I don't know, it gets your attention, and the oops, what's going on here? Just,
right.
But then it again, comes in hot. I'm just going to say it, iconic.
Yeah.
Doom, doom, yes. Doom. And then the,
yes.
You can play that to anyone. I don't know about these young Gen Z, I only know her from Circus Kids, but I don't know, they could probably stab in the dark and say, is that Britney Spears?
Right, like, totally.
You could, yeah, say so just iconic, and yeah, packs a punch. I just put, everyone was talking about this, and the Titanic bit is just,
oh,
it's so specific, but at the same time, it's the film that everyone was talking about, the most watched film at the time, blockbuster records broken. So it was out the year before, right?
Or
yeah. So very current, very topical. And you always get the sense that Britney must have been obsessed with Titanic. And maybe,
yeah.
Like, maybe she had a hand in sort of like, oh, can we please put the thing about the diamond in the ocean?
Yeah.
And of course, the choreography, I remember in the cul-de-sac where I was growing up, had these friends, these sisters, Hannah and Sarah, and we would like be doing the copy. I could never quite get it. She was like, my friend Sarah was like getting quite annoyed with me for not being able to do it, and then doing the legs at the same time. But yeah, no, I'm just splurging, just throwing stuff at the wall about what I think about Oops.
I love it.
A great song. What do you think? Because you said it was basic. Basic has negative connotations. So what are your thoughts?
Well, I do think that it's a really, really effective pop song. Like, it's so catchy. It's like almost one of those like earwormy kind of pop songs. It's not annoying, but it does live in your head. You know, like you can't hear this song for the first time and not think about it again after, you know? Because like you said, it is, you know, one of the things I try and get across all the time, but I don't know if I really like articulate it well, is that Britney's songs are weird. Like, that's sort of the fun of her whole discography, is like the songs are so random and some of them are so weird. Like Email My Heart is like one of the weirdest songs I've ever heard or seen or that exist, like Soda Pop. There's just some weird fucking songs in her catalog. And I think
Baba She Baba She Bop.
How about remember that about people?
And duetting with these people who are then never heard of again. But it's like how iconic that they're on a Britney album and now they're working it. They're working at Chick-fil-A.
Slide some Soda Pops down the bar and really turn the fuck up at 16. but no, and I think that that obviously has a lot to do with the fact that, you know, it's interesting. It's like Max Martin. I've talked about this before, like English is not his first language and he would write these lyrics that for the most part made no sense. But then like the interpretation through the audience would be like, oh, this is so unique and different. And to him, it was just like some saying that he misheard or something. You know what I mean? Like,
oh yeah, Hit Me Baby was something that we misheard, right?
Yeah.
You know, that
yeah,
anecdote?
Yeah.
Like how many years were you and I singing that song, not having a clue what we were talking about? Like, are we, I didn't give a shit. I didn't care if I was talking about hitting an actual baby or,
oh, literally.
Like, or whether it was like taking a hit. But yeah, how funny is that? So listen, tell me this. So where's Max Martin from? I'm such a fake fan.
No, you're fine. He's from, I think he's, where's Robin from? Because that's where he's from.
Oh, I think it's like Scandinavia. I'm going to get so cancelled.
No, you're fine. Robin.
Max Martin, Swedish, Sweden.
He's Swedish, so, yes.
That so, tracks, ABBA.
Yeah, it all comes full circle. But yeah, he's Swedish and he would just make shit up. Like, I Want It That Way is a song that makes no sense. And he's tried to explain it a million times throughout the years. And nobody, it's like, nobody really understands what he's talking about. Like, what way? Like, what are you talking about? And I love that. I think it's fun and it leads to all these like in different interpretations and stuff. But yeah, I think Oops is just a fun, effective song. I think it's Max Martin making fucking like late 90s, early 2000s, just like pop poetry. Like this is pop music at its like finest to me. Like what pop music is supposed to be. You know, you never forget the song, it's catchy and it's got his signature thing where like, you know, nobody writes songs like him. And I don't know, it's just, I listened to it last night and I tried to listen to it as if it was my first time hearing it or something, even though it's like impossible. And I was like, God, this is a really fucking catchy ass song.
I mean, I have to agree with everything you just said. And I know I'm not the only one who was shocked when you scroll his Wikipedia and his spouse is Jenny, a woman.
Like, right?
How is a straight man this much of a genius in pop music?
Like, how does he have his finger on our pulse? I don't understand.
That's very heterophobic. I'm very sorry. But you just expect it, don't you? Almost.
1,000%.
There, I said it.
And now you said it. Yeah. And I'm trying to think of anything. Yeah, the video is like absolutely insane. Iconic. Just such iconic imagery. Like, pop culture, canon, like you said, camp. It's camp turned all the way up. It is camp the house, like camp. The Met Ball could never.
And they didn't.
Yeah, they did not.
Staring camp right in the eye. I mean, come on. Yeah, that is camp with a capital C.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, I mean, I don't, you know, it's like, it's one of those songs that I think, oh, answer your actual question from earlier, I only call it basic because it's just one of those songs that, like, you know, any straight guy that's like, oh, Britney Spears, oh yeah, Oops, sorry. It's just like one of those songs that, like, you know, like you point to any random person that exists in the entire world and they'll know this song and they'll know that she did that hand thing and it is what it is. It lives in
I don't know. I would argue that, you know, what weird song I'm going to say is the local song, but I don't really need to say it. So,
right.
But yeah, that could probably be like a close second. But like, even with the red iconic latex suit, that was original, right? Because it wasn't even like she'd like, okay, I'm a Christina fan, right?
Right.
But totally. When Bionic came out and she did her Bionic era, it was just so painfully obvious that she was trying to be Lady Gaga. But right. Then who wasn't trying to be Lady Gaga at that time?
Right.
You know, it was just something completely new. Well, you know, enter stage left, the Madonna fans who were gonna be like, new?
New? Have you ever seen a human nature video?
So yeah, it was original, camp, fun, mm-hmm. Fantasy, yeah.
And like you said earlier, I mean, I think it's important to always note, like, this is Britney. I don't remember what you said, but you worded it, but it's like not all the way turned up sexually. She's not like posing nude with beads, but like she's sexier. And like, it was almost like her team was pushing to see like, how sexy can we make this girl that we've marketed as a virgin? Like, if we're going to go around telling everybody that she's a virgin, how sexy can we make it really? You know, and I think the red latex thing is like just such a like sort of punch in the face of like, holy shit. Like a year ago, Britney was in fucking Tommy Hilfiger jeans and giggling at the mall. And like, she's in a red latex bodysuit. And she, you know, it was just like,
it's real... almost really clever because she can turn around and say, what? I'm covered. I'm completely
totally.
Covered. But absolutely. If then you might as well be naked. Like, it's just what?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Where's the access?
Literally.
But like, it's just so funny because then cut to the Onyx Hotel tour where parents are storming out of venues because she's simulating masturbation on that bed. And it's just like, I've reveled in that. I loved it. I loved how she was pissing off parents.
And she had men and women kissing on stage. I was like tugging at my mom's arm like, oh my God!
Oh, baby Troy, that's such a cute image.
You want to move on to Stronger?
Always.
Okay, what are your thoughts on Stronger? Just like random thoughts.
It's an equal just punch. And it's almost like scary, kind of like a end of the world, sort of like, or something from the Blitz in the war, where it's like a horn, like a, it's not like a siren, but it's sort of like a, something's coming. So hide, get like up an to emergency. Your desk.
It is, it's like a bomb threat, like old school, like the nuclears are being dropped, kind of like, wow.
Make way, move. Yeah. Britney's here.
Get to your shelters, darlings.
So I've got attitude, just such a bop. This got me through my breakup. My struggle. Here I am, like a white man, and I'm talking about my struggle. But like early mornings at the job I hated, like driving in the dark in the car in the freezing cold, I would just like put on Stronger because it's like, okay, bigger pictures. I'm gonna get through anyway. So really empowering. And just the drums at the end. Here I go. Here I go. Here I go. Here I go.
God. The end of this song.
I could be on a night out. Remember nights out? And I could be on my last leg. I could be like really tired. I'm just about to go home. I maybe even said my goodbyes. And then I hear the.
Yes.
Okay. I don't care. I've got to get to the dance floor right now. I'm in my own world. There are many Britney songs that do this to me, but I'm suddenly in my own zone and I just let it take me over. And, you know, you just kind of don't really care who's watching and just, yeah.
The music just takes over your body. I mean, this is like, so I was reading about this song last night while I was listening to it and I was like, reading all these articles from the time that it came out about people saying, you know, this was a really big deal because this was a female teen anthem. And at the time, like, it wasn't really an era, specifically the year that this song came out, it wasn't an era of, like, young girl, like, power, empowerment anthems, you know? It was more so a lot of songs about, like men. You know what I mean? And like, this is technically a song about a guy, but it's like an empowering song. And it also just so happened to come out the same year as Independent Women by Destiny's Child. So it was just like a real moment. And I don't know, I think, I am under the assumption that like, if you asked like a real hardcore group of Britney stans, like, Stronger is the better single. Like, this song is so ageless to me. Like, it sounds like it is very of its time, but it also sounds like it could come out like yesterday with a couple tweaks, you know?
I have to say, I agree. And just the chills that I got when I, honestly, to go back and listen to these songs for the first time would just be...
Oh my God.
I would offer 5 years of my life for that.
Absolutely.
When she says, my loneliness ain't killing me no more.
Mm-hmm.
I mean... Oh, come on, and just the linking of that, and the narrative and the growth, and yeah, just again, I'm horrible at forming an opinion.
No, you're fine. Just,
I'm very passionate about that, the kind of connection and the look at me now, you know, I mean, the lyrics speak for themselves. I'm stronger than yesterday, you know. It's just, yeah, great song. So did Max, I'm such a fake, did Max Martin do all these songs? So if I'm listening to all these songs, I'm thinking this is a Max Martin song.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I mean, I think there's like one or two that he didn't do, and they're very obvious that they weren't his, like Don't Let Me Be the Last to Know. You know, like, they, when you think about it, it's like, oh, those are definitely not Max Martin songs. Like Dear Diary is not like a Max Martin song, you know what I mean? But like the ones that he wrote, like, you know what those big, like those build up to like a big bass drop moment, and like I said, the end of the song having like a completely just like the same chorus but just rewritten in a weird way, so then you're like, oh, a new chorus 1 minute before the song ends, like, okay, I better listen again. But I also think it's important, like, this music video had a really big impact on me. I remember
the choreography,
the choreography, and, you know, I think, like, you could say, obviously, Oops, I Did It Again introduced us to, like, a sexier Britney, but I think Stronger introduced us to what would go on to become Britney's dance style, which was like Janet, basically. Like, this is the first time we really see Britney in a video dance like this. Like Britney, like sort of stripper chic, if you will.
Yeah, so whereas before it's like on the pier sometimes.
Yeah.
And she's got her like triangle of people like all in white. But now it's like, I don't need backup dancers. It's just me and my fucking chair. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I totally know what you mean. Yeah, I've always known that Britney's been inspired by Janet Jackson. Am I a Janet Jackson super stan? Do I know? Am I articulate in all her videos and everything? No, but yeah, I guess that this is very Janet Jackson dancing style, right?
Yeah. It's like you could say it's like new Britney. Like, this is like, oh, Britney changed her dance style. She's way
like 2.0, yeah.
Yeah, 2.0. Like, look what she can do with a cane, my.
Yes.
Don't Go Knocking on My Door.
Let's go. Okay, so now we're out of the local zone.
Right, yeah. We're deep. Okay,
we're out of the singles. Although, yeah. No, this wasn't a single.
No.
No. Okay, On My Door. I just love that.
No.
So I've just got independence, knows her worth, boundaries. She can see through the bullshit. So she's been famous for a year. So she knows she's had encounters. She knows that she can't trust some certain people. No means no.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just, I've always had Britney Spears and Sarah Michelle Gellar, not as sort of like the same person, but sort of like the same. Obviously, they're both blonde and white, and they were
at the same time. Yeah,
but yeah, it's kind of like the knocking on the door, and like the vampire needs.
Wait, are you supposed to fanfic to me? Because I'd love to hear it.
Oh my gosh, should I do it? Yeah, it's always been like the trifecta of Sarah Michelle Gellar, Britney Spears, and Sabrina. I don't know. I've always kind of associated them. Anyway, there's so much you need to cut out of my bullshit.
I'm not. It's good.
Great song. I like it. I mean, I don't have a bad word to say. Well, I've got some least favorite songs coming up, but I love this one. I wouldn't skip this one if it came on shuffle.
Agreed. I don't know if I've ever really, I love this song, and it's never had like a low, like I've never been like, ugh, I don't want to listen to that. It's fun, and it's like, it's empowering, and it makes you feel good, and it kind of has the same, it lives in the same family as Stronger, where it's like, you know, it's a teen empowerment anthem in a way, and about not needing a man, and you know, again, it's like, it feels so weird to talk about those themes and be like, iconic, but like for the time, like we were living in some pretty vapid, shallow, surface level times, and like, you know, especially for young girls, you know what I mean? And songs like this were shockingly a big deal. It wouldn't be now, but at the time it was like, wow, you know, she was really like saying something. And yeah, this is just, again, this is just Max Martin at his absolute fucking best. I kind of wish this would have been a single. I feel like it would have been really, really effective. Like it's a good, I could see a music video for this.
Oh, I can picture it. Yeah.
And it also has the first, now I've talked on this podcast before about like album interludes. And I just think they're so silly. And
I love an interlude. Best. I believe that harmony is the colors. Every time I paint, it sharpens my harmony. Yesterday I tried to paint you. I live for an interlude. Are you kidding?
I love it. It's like, I always say, I talked about them a lot on when I did Stripped, because there's a lot of interludes on that album. And it's like, in the 90s, it was almost like a way to be like, this album's deep. Can you handle it? Are you sure? You know? Like, it sets the tone. It creates a mood. Like, it tells a story. It's a real, like, you know, it's the separation between an album being, like, the miseducation of Lauryn Hill and, like, not. Where it's like, this is a real album. It's got interludes, you know? Like, it's...
It that just, really like... tickled me. Yeah, everyone has been doing interludes.
It's just really cool. But yeah, the interludes on this album are just so good. And I just think it's so funny that like, so Britney at this moment being this like teen pop star, instead of making her interludes really serious, like you normally would, you know, on like a Heartbreak Hotel or something where they're like, it's like teenage girls being like, which didn't you date last night? You know what I mean? It's just so silly.
On the cordless.
Yeah.
I just put acting, that was acting. And it's just like Academy Award and just the, you just never satisfied.
Never satisfied.
And just her personality just really comes through. And I can tell she loves doing these. And she's just, I know I'm a little picky.
Hey, I just know what I want. She's really acting. And did you know that that's Felicia?
Oh my God. Because in the late, I think there's one later.
Yeah. Felicia's the one that's in like.
Did you guys kiss one? Yeah. I was like, that's not, could it be? No. But then it makes sense. Obviously, she's always there. Why would they need to hire like some actors to come in?
To be Southern. It's like, we've got our gal.
Of course it's Felicia. I love that. I respect this queen, knows what she wants, doesn't compromise. Fuck those friends that say she's like that the man's got a point. Support your girl. Like,
it's like one minute you're freaking out and then you're never satisfied. Iconic. And also, so it leads right into, I'm anxious to hear your thoughts on this song. I can't get no satisfaction. What do you think about this?
I'm about to be cancelled.
No, you're not, because that's why I'm anxious to hear.
So when I first got into this album, I thought it was an original Britney Spears song.
Listen.
And my dad was horrified.
We were children.
He immediately took to the record player, got out his CD of, I'm really going to get cancelled because I've forgotten the name of the person. Is it like Otis Redding or something?
Is it is Rolling Stones?
Oh, God. I'm an idiot. What was Otis Redding? Sitting on the dock of the bay. I'm an idiot. And then I was like, oh, that was another like teachable moment for my parents. You know, mum was Immaculate Collection, dad was Rolling Stones. And so that was a good dinner party thing for my dad. Like, you'll never guess what, kids these days. You thought Britney Spears. And it's, oh my God. Did it used to frustrate you that people, like music people, just dismissed Britney Spears?
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't write her own songs. It's just like, but you know what? I always think these people would also dismiss Mariah Carey, even though she writes all her fucking songs. They would be like, that kind of music, oh, it's trash, you know. I don't know. I've always like grappled with that kind of like, you're not putting enough respect on this woman's name.
I think Mariah's the perfect comparison too, because it's like, mm-hmm. how could you be more of an artist than Mariah Carey? Like, you know what I mean?
Exactly. Well, hello, misogyny. I did a whole podcast about this with my friend Molly, where she said, oh my God, I think it was the Rolling Stones as well. Like, no one is talking about Mick Jagger. I don't know. She says it better. Anyway. So what do I think about this song? Yeah, updated lyrics. It's changed from a radio to a TV. it's about the tight skirts, and I just love the message of her saying, fuck you media, I'll wear what I want. And then, you know, that we see like her relationship with the media throughout the If You Seek Amy, and then she puts the Megyn Kelly bit at the end of the video. It's kind of, I don't know, maybe that's a little parallel. This is like me and uni writing an essay. I just chuck anything on the page.
Oh, I love it. I can listen to you like
have doing a train of thought.
Brittany. Like I could do this for 7 hours, to be honest.
we probably will be. that's all the notes I've got. But yeah, I know, I loved it.
Yeah, it's so, first of all, I think the beginning of the song where she's like doing that breathy, like, the slow, it is. I mean, I dare you to find her a moment where she sounds more angelic. It is truly, it's like angelic and like sexy. It's just like pure Britney.
Invitation has entered the chat. Where she's literally descending from heaven.
But like, she randomly will just become like a full earth angel and go into her like falsetto, and it's like, oh God, Jesus. The only thing that can accompany this is harps.
Please.
But yeah, I think, you know, I was also reading about this one and how obviously controversial it is, because she, like you said, she's singing about her skirt being, you know, short and tight, and there's like the double thing of how she's like telling a guy that she can look however she wants and like dress how she wants and do what she wants. But also it's like, you know, this tongue in cheek way of telling the world and the press, like, you know, stop judging me for being sexy, basically. It was a really smart, there's a lot of Britney songs, especially in the early stages of her career, that do that, that like kind of do the work of talking to the media too, where it's like, it could be a song about a guy, but it also could be a song directed at, you know, the public, you know? I don't know. I don't like, when I was younger, this wasn't like one of the first songs I would go to. Like, if it was playing, I wouldn't skip it. But I never, like, I don't know if I've ever turned on this album and been like, the only thing I want to hear right now is Satisfaction, and that's it. And then I'm going to turn it off. I've never done that.
No, I agree with you. It's not in my Spotify likes, let's say that.
Yeah.
But I can appreciate it. And, you know, it might be a fun karaoke moment. Mm. But yeah, no, I the updated lyrics, just like, I've always like, I liked that.
Yeah.
And the bitch comes on the TV screen.
That's a lot of good growl too. Okay. The next song is one of my absolute all-time favorites, Don't Let Me Be the Last to Know. I love this song. Shoo-be-doo-bop.
I just put Mulan Fantasy. I don't know if that's kind of racist. Please edit.
No, that's not racist. That's, yeah.
It's like a
Mulan vibes.
Yeah, it's... I've put vocals, exclamation mark. I put, it sounds purple to me.
I love that you see color.
I see color. I don't know whether because purple is, let's face it, like part of the album aesthetic is like purples and golds, right? But that's what I see when I hear it. And I don't know. Yeah, it's very striking. It's very, yeah, this isn't Max Martin.
This one is, this one is actually Mutt Lange. Shania Twain and Mutt Lange wrote the song for her. Love. Which I love that, because it sounds like, when you know that, it's like, oh, this is a Shania Twain song and Britney Spears is just singing it. You know, it sounds like it could be like an old classic Shania, like bop.
Well, this song do impress me much.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I love it. So this is one of your faves.
This is one of my all-time favorite Britney Spears songs. I think her voice sounds insane. Like, oh, sounds so good. The instruments are so cool in the background. And like I said, it sounds so much like Shania. And I love that. And I don't know, I guess my heart has a real connection to this song, because I remember, like, back in the day when this album had first come out, Britney loved performing this song. Like, this was like her favorite. And I remember this was always like a pull the stool to the middle of the stage and, like, you know, hold the mic and, like, say something about having to catch her breath kind of thing, you know? Exactly, yeah. Like, it's just, it was like, oh, it's intimate time now with Britney on stage. Like,
maybe like a towel.
Yes. With a piano man behind, like, doing his thing. But yeah, and it's, I don't know, I guess I just find it, I find it hilarious too, that even though this is like a ballad, it still finds an opportunity to have like a little bit of some like bass drop moments. Like, it's still super dramatic for being,
please.
Don't. The music, okay, we can't talk about this song and not mention the music video. I will be bold in saying, I think, and I really mean this, God strike me down if I'm lying, I really think that this may be the most beautiful Britney Spears has ever been.
Okay, here's me looking into the void and realizing that I'm such a fake fucking fan. I can't even picture this music
video. When you see the imagery, you'll know. I mean, it's like, it's the one of her on the beach, like, denim, and she's not dancing, which that was a big deal, because this was like her first, like, you know, video where she didn't have any dance breaks.
She's so fit, as we say in the UK.
Just stunning. Simple, you know, like, beach.
Survivor.
Very that. No, like, theatrics. No big, huge, giant pop production. You know, Mars. You know, it's just simple. It's her Brits at its absolute best.
Oh, my God, she's a star.
Isn't it unreal?
Yeah.
Ridiculous. I'm like, and also, I guess you can't talk about this song without mentioning that I remember this being the first negative press for Britney in her relationship with Justin, because it was like, Britney kissed this guy on the set of this music video and Justin is miffed. And that was like a real big news story that she had to go around apologizing and letting people know that Justin knows it's just acting.
Yeah, and she even says that in a press conference to Crossroads, right?
Yeah, yeah. Even though he's done it.
It's a film.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
She's like, it's a film.
It's so. A film. What you see is what you get. How about this one?
Why have I put the word edgy? Oh,
What you get.
Okay, she is saying fuck spelling, fuck conventions. We're now in the texting age. We've all got our 32 tens.
She's T9 reading you. She's reading you through T9.
The bridge. Mm. Why have I put about the bridge? Was that just really hit me?
What she's believe me.
You'll
be looking for trouble. Yes.
I'm a nerd. Oh, chills. Just so perfect. Good. This, so okay. Good. Let me pretend to be like a U-level fan. This has Max Martin written all over it.
It does. Yeah. Now it does, you know.
Yeah. Believe me.
Like, randomly at that point, there's a new chorus, and you're like,
yeah.
And it's catchy as fuck. Like, I'll learn two choruses. I don't mind. Give a fuck. 30 seconds before the song ends. Sure.
What you see is, listen, not to get deep. as a gay kid on the playground, why are you so girly? Why are your friends, all your friends girls? Why aren't you playing football at PE? Why are you going and playing netball with a girl? Here's my queen, Britney Spears, telling me that actually what you see is what you get.
Yeah.
I am me. I don't even know why I'm this way. Like, you're asking me these things before I've even, you know, I'm just being.
Yeah.
And here's this strong, powerful woman, gorgeous woman. Am I right? Is that what the message of the song is?
Yeah, that's it. It's like, again, this is another song, I think, that's like a tongue-in-cheek way of like talking to the press as well, you know, while also having this like empowering teen, you know, message of like, I am what I am, I'm not changing for you, you have a lot of judgments about what I wear and what I look like and all these things, and I'm not going to change to fit into your mold. You know, I think they were really smart in doing that and like kind of explaining Britney's bad girl behavior, you know, where it's like this the songs like this are her explaining her VMA performance, kind of, do you know what I mean? Like, it's like a way of them sort of saying like, I am these two people and it just is what it is. And I'm not apologetic about it. Oh my God, the beat is insane of this song.
Yeah, this is a no skip for me.
Absolutely no skip.
Yeah.
And it also ends with, I think, one of the most horrific 30 seconds. I don't even know if it's that long, maybe 2 seconds of my life.
Oh, you don't like it.
The fake Justin interlude, it's just triggering. I don't know, I love it for the nostalgia. I love the fact that she is a fake answering machine. And she's like, hey, it's Britney, the thing, just kidding. Like, the fact that there's even an answering machine interlude is just so iconic.
It's a time capsule, because we all used to do, I mean, I used to be obsessed with recording my voicemail and like maybe putting a song on it, you know?
Oh my God, are you kidding?
Mine was Anastasia for the longest time. It was oh my God, I can't remember what it was, but yeah, I just loved personalizing it and everything. I thought it was fun, but you didn't like it because of the Justin of it all.
It's just like, I loved it at the time. Listening to it now, I'm like, holy fuck, this really, I think things like that like age the album and make it feel like, do you know what I mean? Like, it makes it feel so not classic when it is. Like, they cheese it up in a way that sometimes is like maybe too much.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean by that? But I love it. Like, I love the campiness of it. And I love
you're
him.
Brit, you're a nerd.
You're a nerd. And I love him being like, hey, remember we saw a movie with a sad girl? Bam! That reminded me of a song. Write a song about it. Like, what? I was like, what the hell? But I love it.
Like, she's got all this money, but she's just.
Ew, not happy. It's like you're never satisfied. And then it leads to Lucky, which I know is basic, but I also still really love. I gotta know your thoughts about Lucky.
Well, we're back in the local zone.
Right.
So we're back, the locals feel safe now.
Yes.
Okay. And then they're like, oh, this is the song where we should have seen it.
Mm-hmm.
How do we, oh my God. It's because I used to love Grease. I was obsessed with Grease, one of my favorite films. And there's the, because it's 50s, right? Or 60s. It's kind of a vibe, right?
Right.
Doom, doom, doom. Yeah, that's like a 50s drive-in movie kind of like.
Yeah, it's got like a doo-wop-y kind of thing.
Again, like with Oops and Stronger, comes in with a very definitive doom, doom, doo, doo, doo. This is what this song is. I thought it was interesting, like the video. I remember there being a lot of attention about it, about her being sad. I guess it's kind of like, we expect these starlets just to be tits and teeth and smiling, and then suddenly she's
tits and teeth.
Yeah, tits, teeth, always perfect, you know, don't crack that smile, honey. And then here she is actually throwing a curveball and tears streaming down her face, and it's I don't know. I don't know if it's like kind of sadistic to watch it and enjoy it and like get a kick out of it, but it's like, I don't know. Yeah, and the message of like, yeah, money doesn't buy you happiness. And yeah, and it really made me think, as it really made 10-year-old me stop and take stock.
Well, that's the interesting thing, is I think like, you know, this song is kind of resurfaced now. And like all of these people who, like you said, like didn't, you know, maybe weren't Britney fans growing up, or are like revisiting some of her music that they didn't know, or like being introduced to like themes or whatever. This song has like resurfaced. And I've noticed, like, I watch a lot of reaction videos on YouTube, and young people react to this song all the time as if it's like this relic that got, that they went, they blew the dust off and found it or something. And I do think it's interesting. It's like, it just kind of shows what kind of world we were living in versus now, because young people listen to this song and they're like alarmed by it. Like they're really disturbed by it. They're like, this is sad. This is, you know, given what we know about this girl's life. But like for us, it was like, you know, it was mostly about trying to make sure that you matched up with the knocks on the door. Like it was like a fun, it was sad, and you knew that it had sad themes. But as a kid, it was like, we weren't taking it so serious that, you know, we were actually asking her if she was okay. You know, nobody took it as seriously enough.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, like, it's not that deep. I mean, right. it's still camp. Like, she's still a drag queen in the video. God, wait till they find out about Every Time. I mean, like,
I'm like, this is literal child's play compared to what we get later. Like, I mean, I guess, you know, it's like cute that people have tied it to like, you know, these intense themes, but I don't know. I mean, I was reading again about this one because it's a single. So I was like, what was the perception from like adults? Cause I didn't fucking know. And I was reading that people really, really liked Lucky. It was really a successful single, like all over the world.
Oh, huge. Yeah.
Huge. And I guess I just didn't remember in my mind it being so big. But when I was reading about it, I was like, oh, this was like a massively successful song. And like, up to that point, one of her most critically acclaimed pieces of work. Like, everybody loved Lucky. I didn't even know.
I was about to say it tells a story, but she literally comes on at the beginning and goes, this is the story. I like that she's the narrator of it in the video, and she's like, this is a cautionary tale. And
right.
I like short hair. I like Bobney.
Oh, sure, me too.
Yeah, I love it.
Oh my god.
I know we're talking about the video and not the album, but like the video is like, it's like a visual feast. It's a very, maybe I don't know if Moulin Rouge was out at that time, or it's got that kind of vibe to it. It's Lucky walk so Moulin Rouge could run.
Nicole Kidman has Britney to thank. But no, yeah, the video is just it's just so, you know, early, not early MTV, but it's just so MTV of that time, like making the video just peak. Like you said, it's a visual feast. It's like pop culture. It's a pop culture peak time.
Just picturing her, like you said, like making a video at behind the scenes. I'm just picturing her like doing the crying scenes on the bed.
Mm-hmm.
And then in between takes, just like cracking up laughing and like
right.
Eating Cheetos and whatever. And,
yeah. Like yeah. Pulling up to set in her like Volkswagen Beetle with like a Starbucks.
Fanta, no Coke. Yeah.
Yeah. Beef up your appetite. also, by the way, this song gave me my social media bio for the last 20 years, which is I'm Roger Johnson for Pop News.
Yes.
But yeah, I love Lucky. I mean, I like it way more now, I think, maybe than I even did back then, because I can hear those, like you said, those like doo-wop-y kind of vibes in the back. And like, I don't know if I appreciated that as a kid. Yeah, it's fun. Lucky is fun. It's like bubblegum pop that's like haunting and sad, which is like very my gig.
Wait, that was the perfect description of it. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The next song, the next song is another album high point for me. It is called It's From You. Do you love this song?
So I just put Dua Lipa Wishes. Love this song. This is pop, teen, bubblegum love. This is a never skip for me. Just when I hear, I'm giving up one kiss from you, it's like, oh, play on.
Oh my God, I know. I always say, I've said this before a billion times, but I have two speeds when it comes to Britney. I like R&B, like Britney working with like Pharrell or like the Neptunes or whoever. Like I love like R&B Britney. Why should
We're gonna go to a club and get crunk with Britney.
But I also love like sugary, sweet, bubblegum, cotton candy in the clouds pop Britney. Like make your teeth fall out because it's so sweet.
This is diabetes level. This is a dream.
Yes. This is like literally pixie sticks, go-go juice.
Yes, like, I'm glad we got the same imagery because there's no music video to this, right? So it's just, it just takes you there. And
yeah, you just, yeah, it's just so, it's so bubblegum and so, I mean, I just think this song does all the things that a pop song is supposed to do, which is like, make you feel happy. It makes you want to like bop your head around. It's
there's
memorable.
A tinge of sadness, a tinge of longing and yearning to it. It's not all, I'm in love, this is great. It's, she's still like dreaming of the kiss. It's not quite there. It's
right.
Not quite within grasp, but then she's still just so, yeah.
Yeah, and it's very teen pop too. Like it's like,
yes,
you know, very
first
like,
love.
First love, like walking by somebody in the hallway and like, you know, it's very that. And a beautiful voice peak moment for her. She sounds so fucking beautiful in this song. Her voice is just, also by the way, this is one of the songs where they like let her go pretty deep. Like her voice during just like the regular like bridge of the song is so like in her actual register.
Yeah. I don't wanna do.
Right? It's like nice and like low.
And suddenly, oh my God, I love it.
It's so good.
And just the even the ending, it's just, it's not like a fade out. It's to the rest of the night.
We'll go on and on. And this is another one where at the end, Max like introduces a random new chorus and you're like, okay, sure. 1 second before the song ends, got it. Completely fine with me. Yeah. the next song, Where Are You Now? A ballad. Ballad me. I'm anxious to hear your thoughts.
Honesty hour. I usually skip. So when, as soon as I hear, I'm calling up, it doesn't even get to name. It's like, skip. I know that's so bad. I do adore Ballad Me, but it's just, I have to be in the headspace. It's kind of, it's the way that I haven't watched certain films because I know that I need to get in the headspace to watch it. But yeah, where are I don't know. I've got it fades out. I don't have much to say about this. This is one of my least favorite songs on the album, I have to say.
I actually agree with you. I mean, I listened to it last night for the sake of doing this. And I honestly was like, wow, it's probably been 10 years since I've heard this song the whole way through. I mean, honestly, it's gorgeous. It's like weepy and sad and dreary. It's very like VH1, like Celine Dion 90s, like sheets
moving.
You know, it has like its moment. If you're, like you said, if you're in the mood for it, but it's rare that I'm listening to this song and I'm coming off of like singing about my skirt not being, you know, being as short as I want it to be. And then I'm like, I don't know. It just, it's a low point for me. I think it's gorgeous. Her voice sounds, again, unreal, and she has a Broadway baby moment. That belt where she fucking screams is unbelievable. But yeah, I mean, I think it's a skip for me, unfortunately.
It's the same as tiny head skip.
Oh God, I know. I'm like, girl, save that for the baby book. Right?
The baby book, is that something she's got in the works?
save that for like Jaden's like memory book. Like put that put it in like a memory box or something and just wait for him to be old enough to appreciate. Like I don't know if that was really
put it on the auto-generated iPhone album.
Yeah, seriously. But yeah, I don't have anything else really. I do love the next one, Can't Make You Love Me.
Oh, another favorite of mine.
Yes.
I've always thought it's really bizarre because she's Britney Spears and I can only assume that maybe this man is gay, like the man she's singing to, like, why you can't make you love me, like, this is Britney Spears. To me, she was the vision of perfection. Like, I can't, yeah. I used to look at Britney Spears and can't imagine a more prettier, beautiful woman, just so perfect in every way. But yeah, so I thought today while I was listening to it, well, maybe this boy is gay. So yeah. And that's just like, Britney not understanding.
Yeah, it's like, you're gonna be like really good friends like later. Just wait. Yeah. It'll all be fine. You guys will get thrown together and you'll love each other.
She poses the age-old question, is it my life or the things I do?
The things I do.
Yeah. It's funky. You've got the I've got love, another bridge on this album. It's full of great bridges. I love these bridges.
Yeah, this is a good one.
Yeah, you go.
I think the bridge of this one is great. And again, like the chorus at the end of the song where it's like, can't make you love me, baby, when it randomly takes, it's a my life, oh, what can I do? It's just so dramatic. I love the chorus at the end is so great. This is, to me, maybe one of the most unapologetically, like, 2000s pop. Like, just, it's just such a pop song. And it reminds me of, I talked about this artist on this podcast called Rina Sawayama.
Stream Lucid.
Doesn't this sound kind of like Rina Sawayama's, like, and all the songs where she, like, dabbles in 90s pop? Like, it sounds like this.
Well, I only know Lucid and Comme des Garçons. Like, I'm like such a fake fan.
You would love her album.
I believe you.
All the songs sound exactly like, literally exactly like this. Like, it is just unapologetic pop music. But yeah, this is great. Like you said, this is Max Martin at his best. Amazing bridge, amazing second chorus. Britney sounds fucking awesome. It's a bop. Like, it's the perfect thing to play right after Where Are You Now? To like get you back where you're supposed to be. Right? The next song, When Your Eyes Say It, I'm anxious to hear what you think about this one.
Do these two words mean anything to you? Atomic Kitten.
Oh, I'm kidding. Live, laugh.
Oh, do you know? Yes. I love that you know who Carrie Katona is. So I just put Atomic Kitten tease, you know?
Wow, that's good.
This is spoken word knee. Yes. You know, she doesn't really sing in this song, it's just words. We get breath knee. I've got these strings. I guess there was some good percussion going on.
There is.
I've just put, God, this album is so good. So yeah, when your eyes say it.
Oh my God,
this is beautiful.
Oh, I love. Now this is like on the scale of, you know, R&B knee to pop knee. It's like, this is like, you know, sometimes God just randomly decides to bless me and combine the two and give me this R&B pop song when it comes to her. And this is just so 90s. It's so 90s R&B. Like, to me, this sounds like a song that like Brandy and Monica would have like fought people over. Like, they would have been like, I need that song. You know what I mean? It's very 90s R&B girls to me. And like, can't you picture Brandy singing this?
It's such a cool song. It's that, love the vibe, love the good vibes in the song, and it's mellow and it's So when I say Atomic Kitten, just to, if anyone doesn't know, like, I'm referring to Hole again, if anyone wants to look that up and cross reference. It's very like they're speaking and
right.
It's that vibe of almost like a train, sort of like.
Yeah.
Are you talking about the train? But yeah, so.
By the way, this song was written by Diane Warren, which shouldn't come as no surprise to anybody, but I also really wanted to make a point in saying, when it comes to Britney's voice, like I said, I always get questions from people about Britney's singing ability or her voice or whatever, and I wish I would have made this point at the beginning, but like, you know, Britney has this like signature singing style or whatever, right? It's like what people now refer to as like her baby voice or whatever. But like in the 90s, when they came up with that, it was more of like a singing style. Like it was still Britney singing and like doing runs and belting and screaming and doing all of her Broadway baby shit. But like she just kind of like sang it sexier. That's all. She slowly over time became a full fembot. And like at a certain point, like she just became a full Minnie Mouse robot. But at this point, Britney is like, this is peak like 90s Britney sound, like people having to re-record their albums to sound like this. And I think When Your Eyes Say It is a good representation of like Britney's old singing style, because she's still singing her ass off, but she's doing it in like that sexy thing that they, you know, that she was so good at.
I want to listen to this song right now. Like I'm gonna really get into it.
I can't wait to listen to it. Like I'm literally gonna turn it on as soon as we're done.
Mm-hmm. Another interlude
of my favorite one.
This is your favorite. So this is like, yeah. Oh my god, did you guys kiss?
Okay, so I'm not telling you by it.
See, be cool. So I've got this has parallels again to Beyonce, Destiny's Child, Apple Pie in mode. Beyonce, what? Michelle, what?
yes.
Don't turn your head. Just slowly turn here. Just, oh. That was my first experience of ASMR. That
Apple Pie mode.
I don't know if it's like sexual or anything, but I would like replay it and be like, I want to listen to that again. Beyonce, what? Michelle, what? Yeah, it was very, because they're like looking at a guy. My God, this guy's coming over. Be cool. It's very funny. Yeah.
Say.
It's very cute. It's like you can hear how much fun she's having doing all this acting. She loves acting. Like,
I know.
Can I just say, anyone who does have access to the DVD of Crossroads, or I don't know if it's on demand anywhere, but please go back and watch it, because she's genuinely... She's got chops. Like, this is...
I know.
This isn't something they just made. This is in different areas. Like, this isn't a glitter, you know? She's really good. And again, like, I've always say, like, obviously, I'd love Britney to, like, work again and do music or acting. But at the same time, we just want what's best for her, and she's got other
right.
fish to fry right now. But yeah, anyway, that's just all me talking about this interlude. So yeah, very fun, and the parallels with Destiny's Child, that's what I have to say about this. And perfect interlude to then go into this weird song at the end.
This weird, weird fucking song, which by the way, I remember being, this song, even though I didn't even like it as a kid, I basically tattooed it on my hand, because I remember being like, Britney Spears actually has a writing credit on that song, so if you want to go ahead and check the book on the album cover sleeve, yeah, it says Britney Spears helped co-wrote this song, so it's a songwriter, so it was just Lord, so like
Stan.
Yeah, it was such like a validating thing to be like, Britney has a song on her album that she wrote, there's a song.
I remember studying those booklets, and I'm always talking, bringing it back to Destiny's Child, but I remember like, because Survivor is like a defining album for me, like honestly, it's in my DNA. And I remember studying that album, and like every song had Beyonce as a writer, and none of the other girls were on it. And I didn't actually.
Of course,
the writing was on the wall. What do I have to say about this song? Disney. I've got Purple again. This is another Purple song for me. It's very muzak. Right? Very,
yeah, elevator, yeah.
I never really cared for it or connected to it, but I always enjoy doing the impression. I remember distinctly doing the impression at school and people laughing, just going, Dear Diary.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was cute, because like, at the time like, I was like trying to do a diary and like, you know, and yeah, cute, girly, and... But yeah, also weird. She likes ending albums on weird songs, doesn't she?
It's her favorite thing to do, is to put the weirdest...
Troll!
The most sort of like kooky, weird song at the end, where you're the song that makes you like dog sort of head tilt. Or you're like, okay. Yeah,
but like you almost expect like another song after that just to be like, lol, JK, here's like...
Yes.
And then it's like, oh.
It's like, okay.
Silence.
Especially when it starts and it's like, ting, 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 like old, like, poppy piano. It's just, it's real, it's a very strange song. It, like you said, it's very Disney. It's very, you know, cotton candy, pillowy, soft, like, clouds. Yeah. It's just very soft. It's very, like, warm. I've never in my life intended to listen to Dear Diary. It's always just been, you know what
hell,
I mean?
Hell no!
I've never been like, you guys, you'll never believe. Like, turn up, girls, let's party. And then I put on Dear Diary blaring.
I'm crying.
Yeah, it's you know, it's silly, but like I said, it's it holds a special place in my heart because I remember.
But now that I know that she wrote it, yeah, got writing credit. I kind of I feel a bit bad now, but because she obviously, yeah.
I mean, it's not like she's ever performed it. I don't know if you don't feel bad.
Okay, and ever since you, I heard your episode with Hannah, and you said these poems that she put on a website or something, I need to find, so if you could just like drop them into my Dropbox or something, that would be great if you have to. Slide them into my DMs because I'm really interested in seeing those poems. I just love Britney like getting creative. And,
yeah, this is a fun album to reminisce on because it's just like, it's just, you're so far removed from anything, you know, dark. I mean, it's, you could like say that there's darkness throughout Britney's whole career, right? But like this album is just so far before like any, you know, the press hadn't really turned on her yet. She was still this like big media darling and everybody loved her, and she like, there was, you know, her relationship with Justin was like new and people were very embracing of them. It was just a real sort of happy career high, like just a really happy time. It's a happy time to reminisce about, you know?
She was the most famous woman in the world, wasn't she, at this point?
Yeah, for sure.
I'm not even saying that. I was like, oh my God, my stan, my fave was the, no, like she was the most famous woman in the world. Like,
yeah.
But she was doing it flawlessly and having a great time. I love seeing those outtakes from the Oops video where she's making those goofy faces and
yes.
Goofy me and yeah, really, but then she's smart at the same time and yeah.
Yeah, and this is a great tour, I guess we should mention. It's a really, really, really fun tour. It's a live singing tour too, so she sings live the entire time from start to finish. And Britney just like dances different and performs different when she gets to like perform live. It's just different. So this is like, you know, peak young Britney being able to just defy gravity and for an hour dance as hard as you could ever physically imagine with no problem. It's just great. It's a great time. Where do you rank, like, does this album rank really high or middle or low for you? Just like in this big scheme of things.
Again, you're asking someone who has a inability to form an opinion. So you'd never see me on Twitter doing my all Britney songs rants. That just fills me with panic. So obviously I enjoy listening to it. I have fun listening to it. Like there was a reason why you said, what album do you want to do? And I said, Oops.
Right.
You know, partly influenced because I had a conversation with my friend Dan and he identified that he's very like, this is my favorite album. And I'll tell you why.
Right,
so I was
right.
Like, okay, let's get into it. Let's explore it. But yeah, I don't know. It's kind of like LaToya. Don't ask me that, Kathy. Don't, why would you ask me that? Don't, Kathy.
Me and LaToya have the same laugh, by the way.
You so do. I would say that I feel like there's locals in the Britney stand-up that's, you know what I mean? Like, not locals say this, but it's the go-to is Blackout, right?
Right.
As the album. This is the album. So do I just want to be a local and say that's my fave? Maybe. Can you how my brain just panics?
No, but I love it. Like, I could watch you do that for 4 hours. I'm not kidding. No, I don't know where I would like rank this album. I wouldn't say that it's definitely not like, I don't listen to this album a lot. Like, I don't, like, if I'm going to listen to Britney music, it's rare that I'll be like, I have to listen to Oops. But I, like, love it. I'm very nostalgic for it. I love it so much. I know that it's good. And when I do turn it on, it just feels nostalgic. It's not... It's
but that's your nostalgia talking. You alarm.
Yeah.
But that's your nostalgia. That's the nostalgia.
Darling. I don't know.
No, I think it, on that token, because people think of it as just it's nostalgia, it's locked away, it's there, appreciate it.
Right.
People forget about it.
Exactly. They forget how good it is.
I think, like, everyone, just go and listen to When Your Eyes Say It. Like, anyone who's listening to this podcast right now, listen to that song, and just you'll be transported back, and you'll be, like, almost hear it with fresh ears. And, yeah, anyway, go on. I interrupted you.
No, you're totally fine. I mean, I would say that's a really good place to start if you, like, have forgotten why you liked this album, or maybe why you liked it when you were younger or whatever. That song is so great, and... Yeah, it's just, it's a real, like I said, it's a real celebration of Britney's voice. Like, there's things about it now that hit different than they did when it first came out because we're so removed from it. So it's like, it's fun to hear Britney sing like this. And a lot of people don't know that she used to sing like this. So, you know, if you're not like a real hardcore Britney fan, and maybe you are a younger person who discovered her, you know, during like Circus or whatever, like, this is a great album to go back and be like, wow, like, there are Britney albums where she sings like she's on fucking Broadway, and who knew, you know?
Like, not to be Hannah Brown on your podcast, but I feel like I'm about to cry. Like, this was 20 years ago, okay? Like, we have truly grown up with this woman, with this person. And I don't know, I'm just having a moment where, like, I was a child. I'm just stating facts here. Like, I was a child when I listened to it, and now I'm 30, and I don't know. It's just like a constant, and it's like it's a comfort, and no, it's like no one could take this from us.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah, very much.
Yeah, that's my two cents. That's my I'm having a moment, and I'm just so proud to be a Britney Spears fan, and. Blessed, like, you see these tweets every now and every 5 minutes, it seems like, where it's like the world has been spinning for 300 billion years and you're alive at the same time as Britney Spears, but there is some truth to that, you know?
Yeah.
Again, thank God I was just born at that intersection where the stars aligned, where I just had this perfect journey with Britney.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, perfect. Yeah, it's I was listening to one of my really old episodes, and I recorded an old episode with my friend Ryan Bailey about Demi Moore or something. We ended up talking about Britney, and he was older than me. So he was like, you know, I didn't grow up getting the Britney thing because he wasn't like at that age where it like really hit you. And I was saying, like, the crazy thing about Britney was that because we did grow up with her in a way that they had never really done before with a pop star, our lives worked in tandem with each other in this weird way. Like, when she was talking about wanting to show her body more and being a teenager and wanting to express herself, and like, we were all going through like a version of that, sort of trying to be like more adult, more mature. And that went on and on. And I remember even being in college during Blackout, and like, I'm basically blacking out every fucking day, and my friends' lives are all spiraling. We're in college, we're broke, we're drinking all the time. My friends are having crazy breakups and been going, you know, it's like, and Britney is also having this public meltdown. And it was like, our lives always worked together in this really weird way. And you're right. We were really lucky to be born at the same time as this pop star that like basically helped define our lives, basically.
It's right. This is a story about a faggot named Lucky. but no, like, not to make it about Blackout, but yeah, I remember getting, you probably got the same download as I did, just the leak,
it had
and it had Rebellion on there, and I remember like sending it to a friend, and they were like, that Rebellion song's really weird. Like, and then I was like, oh no, I just found out it's not actually on the album. It was a leak. They were like, yeah, I think they were really creeped out by it because they were like a light Britney Spears stan. And then
right,
suddenly like, Rebellion comes along and it's like, what the fuck is this?
She's like singing in her deepest possible voice. She's like, the voodoo.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Well, do you have any closing thoughts or anything that you want to say before we close this chapter?
I have had so much fun on this call and really thank you for the opportunity, you know, just to revisit this album that, again, I probably wouldn't have if we hadn't have done this. It would have been sat on, in my vault, you know, there, happily there, but then not dusted off and looked at and dissected and yeah, really thankful because the first thing I'm going to do is listen to your When Your Eyes Say It. As soon as I leave this Zoom. Yeah, what a thrill. And to be honest, I think I've said enough. I've rambled on, I've regurgitated, I've talked so much shit. But yeah, what a joy. Thank you, Troy.
You are so beyond welcome. I'm so happy we got to do this. You want to come back to do Survivor?
Kelly, what? Michelle, what? absolutely, yeah. If you want like a white British boy to come and do that, but yeah,
we'll tell people where they can find your Instagram and all of your things.
Oh, my Instagram is JoeGunn90 and Twitter is JoeGunn, and Clubhouse. Are you on Clubhouse yet?
Yeah, I just got on Clubhouse like a week ago.
I'm in the listening phase. I've yet to actually like speak on it.
Me too. I was talking to one of my friends about doing like some kind of thing, but yeah, I'm in a listening phase. I'm in a listening, like sort of lurking phase right now.
Yeah, you know, figuring out. And like occasionally they'll go, oh, Joe's in the room. And I'm like, no, 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 no.
Like, yeah, like, don't look at me. Don't look at me. Yeah. I'm like changing my name to like default user 22.
Yes. But yeah, that's where you can find me. Thank you.
Well, Jill, thank you so much for doing this. This was amazing.
So much fun. Thank you.
All right. Thank you guys for listening. I hope that you enjoyed that. Bye. Thank you for listening to Dunzo. This podcast is a part of the Solid Listen Network. Please take a moment to rate, review, and subscribe if you haven't already. Also, be sure to check out our Patreon at patreon.com/solidlisten for exclusive content. You can follow me on Twitter at Troy McGee, and you can follow the podcast on all forms of social media at Dunzo Pod. That's D-U-N-Z-O. Thank you to executive producer Molly McAleer and coordinating producer Nicole Matthew.
Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.